days, I want to praise. Everybody needs your love.
Hey everyone, welcome to OCC Online. We're so pleased that you're with us. My name is Ian and I'm going to be your host for this morning. We're in for a great morning together. We've got worship, we've got some kids stuff and the kids slot, which is just going to be amazing to engage our kids in this community activity of worshiping together online. And then we've got a great testimony as well of one of our Connect groups is just doing incredible work. And then we've got one of our national leaders, David Campbell, who is just a great speaker. Man full of the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to be in for a great morning together. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to hand right over to our worship team to lead us in the next few minutes in sung worship together. So Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and your provision for us to be able to gather together online, virtually, as we are able to do this each week. Lord, this is not our preferred option. We'd much rather be together. And yet we're so thankful of the opportunity to converse online with one another this day as we come to remember just how magnificent you are as a community. So Lord, may your presence be felt among us and in our homes, in Jesus' name.
Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the whole earth. Great is the Lord in whom we have the victory. He ate us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank you for the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you throughout earth and heaven above. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. The city of our God, the holy place. The joy of the the Lord in whom we have the victory. He ate us against the enemy. We bow down on our knees. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. And Lord, we want to lift your name on high. And Lord, we want to thank the works you've done in our lives. And Lord, we trust in your unfailing love. For you alone are God eternal throughout earth and heaven above. You reign supreme. You're the sovereign Lord I am. in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here moving in our homes. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are, you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That's who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That's who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. It's who you are. You made a way. You made a way. You're the answer to it all. You wipe away your tears, mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. You wipe away your tears, you mend the broken heart. You're the answer to it all, Jesus. You wipe away your tears, you mend the broken heart. Answer to it all, Jesus. Wipe away your tears, you mend the broken heart. The answer to it all, Jesus. 'Cause you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, darkness, my God, that is who you are, where there was no other way. You made a way. That's who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
There's just something about the sung worship, isn't the praise of God's people as we worship in song, that lifts our spirit. And so thank you so much just for leading us in that this morning. We're going to hand over to the kids work, and they're going to lead us in this next section. So if you kids, get ready. I don't know what you're going to need, but get ready to get whatever you're going to need for this moment. And why don't you, if you're in there as a family, why don't you just engage as a family with this next section as we seek to make much of Jesus together across the ages.
Yeah. where Mark gets set go on a Bible adventure. So much in the Bible for me to know on my Bible adventure. I want to know that God is real. I want to know how I could be his friend. I want to know who Jesus is. I want to find out what the Bible's all about. Hey! Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do. Set go on a Bible adventure. So many ways that I will grow on my Bible adventure. I'm gonna learn my memory verse. I'm gonna pray and talk to God. I'm gonna sing new songs to God and keep singing the songs all week long. Oh, do 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 do. Set go on a Bible adventure. Church is a fun place we can go on a Bible adventure.
Full. The house was full. Jesus was in the house, teaching and healing, and everyone wanted to see him. Some men had a friend who could not walk. They believed that Jesus could heal him, so they carried him to the house on a mat. Because the house was so full, they couldn't get in. So they carried their friend up the steps to the flat roof and started tearing up the tiles. They opened a hole in the roof. Everyone in the house looked up, amazed. Then they lowered their friend into the middle of the crowd. They thought Jesus would heal their friend. Instead, Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." The religious leaders were very unhappy.
"Only God can forgive sins," they grumbled.
"What's easier," asked Jesus, "to forgive a man's sins or make him walk? To show you that I have God's power to forgive sins, I will heal his legs." "Pick up your mat and walk home," said Jesus to the man. And he did. His friends cheered, and so did everyone else. Now the house was filled with praise.
Hi everyone. Wow, what amazing friends we saw in that video to do that for each other. And it just shows us that by blessing each other, we're also blessing God. And that's exactly what it says in 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we also ought to love each other. And I've got some ways in this bag that we can possibly learn to love each other. So I'm going to see if you can guess some of these ways. So what could we do? What could this show of one way that we could bless each other? Okay, it's a clock. It's time. We can give each other time, can't we? We can spend time with each other. We can read with each other, play, and have fun with each other and just give each other the gift of time. And that's a great blessing. We could, a bit of rubbish here, tidy. We can, maybe if it's our own rubbish, make sure we pick it up. But if it's someone else's mess, maybe share and help them and bless them by helping them make it tidy too. And I'm sure your parents would love that. Okay, how about this one? We could share with each other. Maybe take something that we love, something that we want ourselves, but maybe offer it to someone else first to play with. Maybe knowing that someone else might want to play with it, possibly share it with them. What else have I got in here? Okay. Yes, we made these in church a while ago, our dazzle bracelets, to help us remember to pray for one another. And that's a real great way that we can bless one another, is by simply just praying and asking God to bless them. And that's a really easy one to do that was really effective. Okay, and the final one is this. It's a little thank you card. So it could be just something as simple as writing a little note to a friend to just let them know you're thinking of them. And that's exactly what I'm going to do now. But you could think of some other ways in which you could perhaps bless a friend. And we have got this little chart, reward chart kind of thing, on the chat, which you can download and colour it in. And just write some possible ways that you could bless those around you. And by blessing those around you, blessing God too. Blessing each other and blessing God. So it makes it their best day ever. I'm going to write my note now to let someone know that I'm thinking of them.
Isn't it just magnificent that we can, a multi-generational congregation, engaging online, it's so important that we invest in our young people. But it's also so really, really important that we invest in our lives beyond our community. And that's what you're going to hear just this moment in this next story, this testimony from one of our Connect groups. You're going to be amazed. You're going to be inspired. You're going to be challenged as we hear just what one of our groups is doing as they're seeking to bless their community.
Hello, everyone. I'm Colin, one of the Connect group coordinators. And I've been asked by John to share a testimony of something that happened locally, which our group got involved in, and the outcome of that intervention, if you like. So Sue heard through a local messenger group, a ladies group that she's connected with for the ladies down her street, that there'd been a mugging of a young teenager, not sure of his age, around 15, 16, at the end of our street, which was literally 100 yards away. It was a BMW, had some older lads inside, but a young teenager got out and threatened this young teenager and said that if you don't give me your AirPods and your bike, there must have been a phone involved as well, but we don't know if that was taken, I'm going to knife you. So, not wanting to get stabbed, obviously, the lad consented and gave over his bike and AirPods that we know of. Sue obviously had prayed about that, and after a few days in prayer, decided that she had to act and do something. So she shared it with me and shared it with our Connect group. And asked us all to pray on it, which we all did. And the prayer was really to find out whether we should get involved or whether we should do something. Now, I'm making the video, so obviously we did do something. So what we did, we clubbed together and we managed to raise £150 for this young lad to go towards replacing that which had been stolen from him. Now, we didn't know this lad, we didn't know where he lived, but we did know that he was friends with one of our neighbour's lads. And we think, Sue thought it was a lady called Jane just up the road from us. So knocked on the door, and fortunately, it was the right door to knock on. Jane knew all about it, knew the lad, knew where they lived. And Sue explained what had happened, what we'd done, and that we needed to see Tom and his parents to hand over the gift that had been raised by us all. So Jane consented, thought it was a lovely idea, and took Sue around to meet Tom, who lived just around the corner, fortunately. So when they knocked on the door, Tom answered, the young lad who had been mugged, and Sue handed across an envelope with the money in it. Now, being a teenager, he wasn't sure how to feel, what to say, apart from thank you. And that was about it. And that was it. And there was no more to be done at that point. A couple of days later, there was a knock at our door. Sue was on a Zoom call. And so she thought, not really talking to anyone important, so I'll go down and knock at the door and answer the door. So she answered the door, and there was Jane, and there was Tom's mother there, a lady called Sandra. Now, Sandra presented Sue with the flowers of our exhibit here, just behind me, lovely bunch of flowers, and a card, a thank you card, which is here. And the card read, "Dear Sue, I would just like to say a big heartfelt thank you to you and everyone who collected for my son Tom. It was a very scary and difficult time for us all. It's so reassuring and wonderful to know that there are lovely people who really do care. I'm so overwhelmed with it, and also is Tom and the rest of the family. Much love to yourself and everyone involved. Sandra Barker." So because Sue couldn't talk at the time, She obviously came upstairs and finished her Zoom call because it was an important person, I guess. And she went around to Sandra after the call, now knowing where she lived, knocked on the door, and they spent a bit of time together. Sandra obviously very curious about where the money had come from. So Sue explained members of a church who believe in Jesus, follow Jesus, and that it was just laid on our hearts, and it was a gift that we were led to give. Sandra was very touched by Sue's present, and Sue asked if she could pray for Sandra, and Sandra agreed to it. So it was obviously quite an emotional meeting. Sandra shared at the time, now Sandra's probably in her early 50s, Sue thinks, so she's probably 45, 40, towards 50. And she told Sue that she had never, ever, all the way through her life, had such a gift given in such a way from anyone. Which is quite something and quite sad if you think about it. But the gift was given, and we're very pleased to be able to give in to the family and pray against all the bad things that have happened. I must also say that we prayed for the people that did the mugging, that they would actually see the light and maybe not go on and follow down that road. But for Tom mostly, we've prayed that it won't have long-lasting effects. And that's really the end of the story, but hopefully there's been a seed planted, and we'll find out. So it's a thank you from us, a thank you to the Connect group for what they did. But yes, mostly it's a thank you to us all from Sandra.
Wasn't that just an incredible story of opportunity, of generosity, of movement beyond the boundaries of the comfortable, and just what opportunities that God has created as a result of blessing out. And just encourage you in your groups and in our groups to think about how we can bless others beyond the inward action of blessing one another. Just incredibly inspirational. So thanks so much, Colin and Sue and your group, for all that you're doing. It's just you're really an inspiration to us. I'm going to hand over now to David Campbell, who's one of our national leaders. David is an internationally known speaker. He's the regional leader for the Met West and Met East regions of our Elam churches. He oversees over 100 churches. He's an incredibly gifted communicator, but more than his ability to communicate with listeners, he's a man who's deeply passionate about following Jesus, about the things of the kingdom, and about people encountering the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so today, as he ministers to us, my prayer for you is that, and for myself, is that our hearts would be open to receive something fresh this morning from the Spirit that enables us to be the kind of people that Jesus has called us to be.
Hi, I'd like to start with a reading from John's Gospel. I'm going to read the last verse of John 15 and then read into John chapter 16. Here we go. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples about this wonderful Holy Spirit. You know, this was a new thing for them. They're getting all their teaching about the Holy Spirit from Jesus. That must have been I'd love to be in that Bible study, wouldn't you? Anyway, so that's John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, Jesus says, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And chapter 16, that these things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, that time is coming, that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Amen. God bless his word. It must be very interesting to be a disciple of Jesus. I suppose all the disciples, they're all things in common. They're all good Jewish boys, Jewish men growing up, one faith. One of the most famous scriptures they would have known is, our God is one. God is just one. And the Old Testament sort of showed God as a little bit harsh, really. A little bit of a hard person and a bit severe. And Jesus came to show us the Father. Right? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. So he's coming to show us the Father and reveal the Father. And I guess he showed the Father as more loving and caring. Because it's because the Father loved us that Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It was the love of the Father that sent Jesus in the first place. So Jesus talked to him about the Father. And they're probably going along thinking, Jesus is great. You know, he's shown us all about God the Father. And then they'd see the things that Jesus did and think, you know, no other man has ever been able to do this. And blind people are seeing, deaf people are hearing, lame people are walking. And then suddenly dead people are coming alive again. And he speaks with such authority until they have this revelation. Jesus is God too. He's not just a son of God. He is God the Son. And that's amazing. So they're dealing with that and just thinking, what amazing privilege it is to be with God the Son. And then Jesus starts talking about the Comforter, who's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, different sort of translations. And thinking, wow, these three, it's almost like they discovered the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. They discovered him in a relational revelation. And I suppose sometimes when we pray, I said, Father, I love you, thank you, Jesus, amen. You don't know if you're talking to the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. Some folks say you only talk to the Father in prayer, but I talk to the Father, I talk to the Son, and I talk to the Holy Spirit too, because all the glory goes to the Father. Jesus came to bring us to the Father, but Jesus was saying that. But he says something in amongst all this, which we just read there, and I just wonder this amazing claim in John 16:7. He says, it's to your advantage. It is to your advantage that I leave. Because if I go, I will send the Comforter, I'll send the Helper, I'll send the Holy Spirit. It's a good job church isn't democratic, isn't it? I'm not sure you'd get that through in a church vote. You have to say, it'd be a little bit better if Jesus leaves. Shall we vote on it? Especially after the resurrection. Because before the cross, I'm thinking, are you sure? But after, they've seen him dead, they've seen him buried, they've seen him risen from the dead again. They spent time with him. And they would say, no, don't go, Jesus. Don't go, because how could it be better than having the resurrected Jesus with you? And that's one of the amazing things, is that almost like today, we have the advantage that Jesus kept talking about. He actually said it'd be better for them and for us if he went to the Father, because he's going to send the Holy Spirit to us. So when the Holy Spirit comes to us, it's not just like an optional extra. Jesus said, this is so good for you, so important for you. You mustn't miss this. This is worth me leaving earth to send the Holy Spirit to you. And so when we're talking about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then we have to have an understanding that this is God's top priority. It's not an exam. It's almost like you've got to do this and pass the exam. It's almost like this is the promise to you, because it's almost impossible to live the Christian life well without the Holy Spirit. In fact, probably you cannot become a Christian without the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said it's the Holy Spirit who will convict and convince us of sin. So when you became a Christian, that sort of feeling of, you know, I need a saviour, I'm lacking something. It wasn't just your brain that is working, because your brain tells you different things at different times. It was the Holy Spirit, he actually spoke to us, he convicted us of sin. I remember sharing a room with a Chinese lad from Hong Kong who came up with Jackie Poonja's ministry, and he talked about how the Holy Spirit convicted him of sin. And he says, first, Holy Spirit make you good miserable, and then Holy Spirit make you good happy. And so he really just saying that he felt really bad about sin, but the Holy Spirit's job is not to make you feel bad. It's to make you realize the truth that you need a saviour, to bring to a saviour that you might be set free and find life. So the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. He convinces us of sins. He shows us what's wrong and in our life, and that we need a saviour, and that we need righteousness, that we don't live holy lives. We're not perfect. We're not. And actually, we can't live the Christian life in our own strength. We can't. If we think we can, fool ourselves. Because we couldn't save ourselves, we couldn't get ourselves into the kingdom, and we couldn't keep ourselves in the kingdom. We need help. We need help. This is a supernatural life. But what Jesus is trying to say is, don't worry, the help is here. It's promised. When I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit, and he will come, and he will give you that life. He will fill you to overflowing. And even now, I guess, when you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit, he sort of witnesses with you. He sort of tells you, no, that's wrong. You know, sometimes it's not written down, don't do this, don't do this. But sometimes you think, I don't feel good about that. I don't feel... Sometimes that feeling is more than just a thought or just a cultural thing. It's like almost the Holy Spirit. He, if you listen to his voice, he will tell you what's right and what's wrong and to stay away from things. And the Holy Spirit still does that. He still convicts us of sin, and it helps us to stay away from sin, to steer away. And it's a bit like a good friend would say to you, oh, don't go anywhere near them. Don't go, don't do that. That's just always ends in tears. Just keep away from it. And the Holy Spirit, he'll do that. He'll lead us in the paths of righteousness. He's the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us and keeps us away from sin. So he loves to do that. And he's for you. He's for me. The Holy Spirit's not just for a select people. In fact, it's so important that Jesus makes certain that everybody can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he sort of tells us we should do as well, and that's something he wants for us all to do. And he actually said to his disciples at one point, you know, I've been resurrected from the dead, I'm about to leave and go to heaven. This is Pentecost. We just looked at Pentecost, 50 days after the cross. He said, almost, the fact you spent 10 days with the resurrected Jesus should give you enough confidence to go out and talk about it. But Jesus said, even that, it's not to be confidence, you need power to come upon you. Go stay in Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. Then, you're witness now, you talk about it, but you have the power to do it. So Jesus is never, ever, ever going to ask us to do something that he does not actually equip us to do. So to be a witness for Jesus, he said, you need to wait till you get the power of the Holy Spirit. It's like you've got a car, you've got an engine, but you wait and I'll bring the petrol, and I'll bring the power to help you keep going every day. So you need that filling of the Holy Spirit. And how would that happen? How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I almost think, this is so simple, I'll have to say it twice, because it's almost... God makes the most important things simple, like road signs. It says stop. It didn't have a big long phrase like, hey, well, good idea now to slow down a bit because you're coming towards the junction. They don't. They put a big sign up, stop, because that's important. And Jesus makes the important things very simple. Like when I became a Christian, I don't think it was that complicated, really. It's sort of, and in fact, sometimes I say, "Did that? Is that all we did?" Was I almost? I think I closed my eyes and I prayed to the invisible God. Said, "God, I'm sorry for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my life and be Lord. Amen." I think that's roughly most of what happened. But my life has radically changed. I mean, like radically changed when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and life. And this is a bit the same about the Holy Spirit. When you close your eyes and you pray and you talk to him and say, "Father, please, in the name of your son, I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's it. That's it. It's not a competition. It's not an examination. It's not like the crystal maze. You have to get everything right to get there. It's as simple as, "Father, I want to receive the gift." Jesus talked about it. He said, if any of you has a son, he asks for bread, would you give him a stone? Or if he asks for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Or if he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? Only because there's things in the Middle East that looks like that. You get a stone that looks like a bread. Or you can get a little white scorpion that curls up like that, and it's white and it looks like an egg, and maybe a snake that can look like a fish. But they said, you wouldn't do that. I mean, maybe some wicked person would, but a good father wouldn't do that. But Jesus goes on to say, those are not hard things. Like bread, that's give us this day our daily bread. That's the basic thing of life. Poor people have bread every day. Eggs would be the thing which poor people eat. Poor people eat eggs, they don't eat chicken. Rich people eat chicken because they only eat that once. Poor people have an egg every day. And fish, if you were from Galilee, had no money, well, what would you do for food? But you'd go fishing, wouldn't you? So fish was probably up high up there on what you could eat. And so Jesus is talking about things like bread and fish and eggs. And if you ask for those, how much more would your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Now he's saying, this is your daily bread. This is something you'll need for every day. And just as the Father would not say, "No, you can't have it," this said he'll say, "Yes, you can." I mean, when I was a kid growing up, I can remember I used to come home and say to my mother, I'm starving. And I think mothers learn secrets. They say, "Well, go and get yourself a slice of bread." And, you know, and I said, "Oh, I'm not really bread starving, and more like Kit Kat starving," you know. And but Jesus didn't use that analogy. He didn't use T-bone steak. He didn't use caviar. He used the basic things of life. And he's saying that your Heavenly Father, if you ask him, is a basic essential of life to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you ask him, he'll always say yes. He'll always say yes, because he's always wanted us to have that and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I guess when the disciples, when they got there, the Holy Spirit, he is quite interesting. He does whatever he likes. In fact, sometimes he does things in ways where you think, "Wow, what's happening here?" Like he disrupts meetings. I had somebody say once, something about God is this: that God is convinced that he's God. God so believes he's God that he thinks he can do what he likes, when he likes, where he likes, to whom he likes, whether or not we like, and so he will do whatever he likes. And the day of Pentecost, they're all praying, which is good. A lot of prayer happened in the early church, didn't it? But the first real meeting was in Acts chapter 2. And they're praying, and probably they stand up. They didn't kneel down to pray. They used to stand up to pray. And they sort of, if you look at the Wailing Wall, what Jews pray, they stand and they sort of nod back and forward a bit. And then there's this sound, comes of like a rushing bite. You went, think, "My goodness, what was that? What was that?" You might even sort of say, "I'll ask Pastor." And Pastor tells at the end what that was. We'll understand that later on. And next thing says that tongues of fire came and rested on each of them. I don't know if it rested on their head, you know, like a gas flame sticking at the top of their heads. I don't know. But the tongues of fire suddenly very visible. Now, you would notice that. You might not have been certain about the noise, but when you look at your next door neighbour, you think, "Oh dear, there's the fire sticking out the head." In England, we wouldn't mention it. We'd be too polite to mention anything. But we think, what was that? And the next thing, people started speaking in what Bible calls tongues, or languages. But they're not languages that they learned or that they knew. In fact, they're unknown tongues. We know later on that they spoke about the great things of God. You'd never say anything naughty or bad swear words in tongues because it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and he talks about the greatness of God, but they're all doing that. Sometimes I wish I could have spoken tongues in French, you know, with exams, but it didn't work like that. But they almost think, what is it? And also they were staggering around by, people thought they were drunk. I don't think you think you're drunk because you speak a foreign language. So possibly they're falling over under the power of the Spirit. I don't know. But I do know that when they came and asked, and then Peter stands up, he didn't say, well, what the wind is about. He didn't say what the fire in the head is about. He didn't say what the speaking of tongues is about. He didn't say why people staggered around drunk. What he does say, this is that which was spoke by the prophet Joel. Now, which is that said, don't worry, this is God. Once you know it's God, you don't have to worry. Then you can ask your questions in a different way. So the Holy Spirit comes because he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll just pull this together and just say, because the reason for the Holy Spirit comes is that we would be his witnesses. The word is maturion, we get the word martyr from that. But it doesn't mean you're all going to die. But it means your whole life is given as a witness. And that works in two things, almost our life and our language. The Holy Spirit comes to us, we be a better witness with our life, the way we live for him. And it helps us keep us, like we said, don't do that, that's wrong. Do this, this is right. That he can give us a witness, but more than that, he gives us the power and the ability to live a godly life. That's why it's really important that we keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And also, the language is to be able to speak out and be able to share the things about Jesus and to share the things of the gospel, to tell the good news. It's, I mean, after all, telling somebody that they can have their sins forgiven and they're going to heaven is not the worst thing you're going to do to them in their life, is it? And it's, it gives us the power to do that. Now, we need to keep being filled with the Spirit. Paul tells us, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we need to keep being filled. And part of that is ask God every day. There's not a prayer like standing order you put in and say, dear God, please fill me with the Holy Spirit every day from now on. Amen. Doesn't work like that. But every morning say, Father, please fill me again. Sing praise to him. Overflow in his presence. Love his presence. Just get to talk to him. Tell me you love him. When you do that, he fills your heart with his presence. When you speak about him, he always comes. So my prayer is for you, as we've talked about the Holy Spirit, that we would wait too. Waiting just not means waiting hanging around, but we would wait on him, just whatever he says to us. And maybe now I'm going to have a little prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again so we can start this day and this week just being filled with him. Okay, let's do that. Father, I thank you that we can be filled with your Holy Spirit. What an amazing privilege that God himself would come in and not just rest on us like he did in the Old Testament, but come and fill us from the inside outwards and overflow us. So, Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And Jesus, we thank you that you've sent the Holy Spirit to come and give us the ability to live holy lives and to speak the whole gospel and truth about Jesus. Holy Spirit, please, would you come fill me again today? Maybe for the first time or the umpteenth time, we just declare we totally need you to come and fill us again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Thank you for having me. Take care and God bless.
There's nothing worth more than would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're a living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome.
That was such a great word. Thanks so much to Dave for just communicating his heart and his desire, his passion for people to encounter the Holy Spirit and live in the fullness of the Spirit. I'm going to pray in a moment as we close our service that you and I would walk in the power and the fullness of the Spirit, that we might be the kind of people that God's designed us to be and purposed us to be, that we might be the kind of witnesses that the Holy Spirit empowers us to be in Stratford and beyond, so that the kingdom of God might advance, so that Jesus' name might be made famous, so that Jesus might draw all people to himself and use you and I to do so. And so let's just for a moment pause and reflect, but maybe upon one challenge, one thought from Dave's message, or from the testimonies, or from whatever's been communicated this morning throughout this service or online on the online chat. Just take that moment and bring it to God in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to seal his work in you, so that you and I might become the kind of people that he's designed us to be. So Father, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you that you know exactly what we are like, and yet you call us to be part of your family, and you empower us. You give us the greatest gift, the gift of the Spirit, who brings new life to us as we confess Christ and as we walk with Christ and seek to order our life after the pattern of Christ. We thank you that you've given us everything that we need to live the life of godliness and to be the kind of witnesses that you've called us to be. So would you help us this week to bear good witness, to be good ambassadors of your kingdom in wherever it is that we find ourselves, whether it's at home, whether it's in online meetings, whether it's out in the shops or out in the community, doing the things that we've heard this morning, being inspired to bless out. Would you use us to see your kingdom advance in Stratford and beyond? So Lord, we thank you for your presence with us in our homes as we've gathered online. Would you seal your work in us, so that we might truly be all that you've designed us to be. Amen. Well, thank you so much for being with us today online. It's been a real joy to be with you. I hope that some of what you've heard and participated in this morning has helped you move that little bit closer to Jesus as you seek to live that out this week. If you're part of our community and you're able to give to the work of what OCC are doing, not just in the church but beyond and into the community, just encourage you to use the link that's going to appear now. It's the way that we're able to give during the season into the work. Now, just to say on that, you know, your giving isn't simply to the work; it's an act of worship. This is a continuation of worship, and so if you're able to do that, we'd be so grateful and so thankful for your giving to the work of God. So thanks so much for participating this morning.